Welcome back, Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis. We are at episode 73. If you're new to the channel, welcome. As you can see, we have a whole lot of fun here. If you're a loyalist, a ride or die, well, we're in for a hell of a ride. I'm going to start this baby up and I'm going to drive up, but I'm going to come right back because we need to address a really big elephant in the room.
Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
It's time for action, Savages. It's time for action and effort. Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am Cicely, of course, and welcome to the channel. If you're new, you are officially a savage. Come on back and tell others about the channel. Bring them back with you next time. I am honored to have you join me. And for the returning savages, the returning audience, the ride or dies, great to be back with you. You keep me going, and I am so very appreciative. For all listeners and viewers, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And let's address this big old elephant in the room. And I'm not talking about the Republican mascot, but we definitely have some donkeys in the arena putting on the worst show ever. It's a folly. It's bad acting. It's pretending to be about patriotism, pretending to care about democracy, pretending to care about the American people, pretending to care about the poor, the working class, pretending to care about the middle class, when all the while the donkey class elite, the jackass socialists only care for, only accommodate and consider the ultra rich. Now, obviously we have the ultra rich on our side, but we actually congratulate them. We don't berate them. We're happy that they're successful. We congratulate them. We raise them up. It's pretending. It's about pretending to care about free speech. As Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Meta, right, now known as Meta, admits some 3.5 to 4 years later that he was pressured to hide and censor content on his platform. Oh, now he has regrets. Now brace yourself, folks, because this will be a one subject episode, okay? Because there's an ass running loose and I need to catch it. Now look, folks, it's year 2024. We are 70 days or less away from voting. And even less than that, less than a week away from early voting in some states like North Carolina coming up here soon, approaching this week, as a matter of fact. He waits now, this late, to confess what we've already known, confess what we have been saying all along, confirming now what so many had been saying and experiencing, been fact-checked, being censored, being canceled, having their pages, their content, their livelihoods canceled or driven away because they were simply stating the truth, okay? This is what we've been going through. Telling the truth about COVID-19, about Hunter Biden's laptop. Mark Zuckerberg has regrets. Oh, he has regrets. Now, 4 years later, he has regrets that he chooses not to have courage, right? He regrets not choosing integrity. He regrets apparently in withholding information from the American people. Information that shaped an election, information that influenced people's health and well-being. He has regrets. And by golly, that should be enough because he confessed. So in case you haven't heard about this or need some extra details, this past last Monday, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Meta, says he regrets that Meta bowed to the Biden administration, pressure to censor content, saying in a letter that the interference was wrong, and he plans to push back if it happens again. So he aired his grievances in a letter to the House Judiciary Committee in response to its investigation into content moderation on online platforms. Zuckerberg detailed how senior administration officials in the White House of the Biden administration leaned on the company to censor certain posts about COVID-19, including humor and satire, and expressed a lot of frustration when the social media platform resisted. Now, listen to this. This is what he wrote in the letter. I believe that the government pressure was wrong, and I regret that we were not more outspoken about it. Zuckerberg wrote, I feel strongly that we should not compromise our content standards due to pressure from any administration in their direction. And we're ready to push back if something like this happens again. He also expressed regret for Meta's downplaying of content related to coverage by the New York Post about Hunter Biden ahead of the 2020 election that the FBI warned may have been rooted in a Russian disinformation operation. And I quote, it's since been made clear that the reporting was not Russian disinformation, like we didn't say this all along, okay? And in retrospect, we should have demoted the story. Well, if Donald Trump and J.D. Vance get into office, as you know, everyone knows, including all donkey voters and donkey elites, that Meta won't be getting any pressure or any censor or any content. This only happens when a bunch of donkeys are in the White House calling themselves trying to lead a country. This only happens on the donkey side of things. It's 2024, and everyone knows that Facebook was deeply involved in a massive cover-up effort to censor COVID-19 information and to interfere in the 2020 election by censoring the Hunter Biden story. Everyone knows this. We have been screaming it and shouting it from rooftops with the laptop and other Hunter Biden buffoonery that they covered up. We were all called conspiracy theorists. Remember that? We were called sore losers. We were called inhuman because we didn't care about people and how they were dying from COVID-19. Remember all that? We were called election deniers when we pointed this out. Many people lost their livelihoods and their podcasts when they talked about this, okay? Many were misled to believe that Hunter Biden was just a good boy. He's just a good boy of the president hopeful and Joe Biden, and we were just bullies. And we were afraid to lose. All the while, people were lied to and misled by Facebook and the pressure of the Biden administration to mislead and lie to the American people to shape and or influence the election. Now, I got to tell you, I actually thought this was a phony report. When I first saw this and I saw the headlines, I actually thought it was fake, thought it was a phony report. My husband actually sent me a clip of the news outlet, reporting this. But then I saw all the headlines that followed immediately after, like Daily Wire and Newsmax and Fox and others. And then I went home to watch it later. I watched the rerun just to see him, to get a glimpse of Mark Zuckerberg as he testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee. So that is truth in this moment, folks. I'm actually ticked off about this. This shaped an election, right? People were put in Facebook jail. I know many of them. They were censored. They were canceled. People lost their livelihoods. And Mark Zuckerberg participated. He actually participated in hiding information and stealing the election. Now, I know people were celebrating, and I get that. Republicans were celebrating all over social media about this. He was also made to apologize to families who were actually in attendance that day or during the hearing and that was sitting behind him, who had children who were exposed to lewd content and nudity on the platform where he sat on the table, right? He sat up on the table. If you go to C-SPAN and look this up, he actually sat on top of the table. He turned towards them and he made his apology. Many Republicans, again, were on Twitter or X now, including Jim Jordan, who posted this, and I quote, he called it a big win for free speech. And I agree with that. This is a big win for free speech. It's a great win for, you know, the battle against censorship. They did their jobs on the Judiciary Committee. I absolutely congratulate them. I want to be careful not to take anything away from them. Okay. Kudos to them for doing their jobs. They did a stellar job. The Republican senators and the Republican congressmen did a great job in pressing him and questioning him. And, you know, the statement he made saying that for the future, that he's going to make sure that this doesn't happen again, just really turned my stomach. He should have been doing this all along. You know, we should have been following the Constitution all along. He should have understood his position, understood the impact of Facebook, and just been a neutral platform to simply allow people to express themselves freely, as the Constitution states. And he quotes, "My goal is to be neutral and not play a role one way or another, or to even appear to be playing a role. So I don't plan on making a similar contribution this cycle. But there is something savage going on here, folks. And as a savage, truthful American, as you know I am, you should be happy and quite comfortable about that. The donkeys are realizing that Kamala and Walz are losers." So this is what's really going on with Mark Zuckerberg's, you know, come to Jesus moment. Okay. This is what's really going on. He recognizes that when he sees the kind of candidate that Kamala and Walz are, he realizes that they're losers. They're not winners. And I think that's what's really actually going on. I think that's what's happening in with populists as having an impact around the world and speaking out against censorship. And we're actually winning this battle. The tide is on our side. The writing is on the wall. And Mark Zuckerberg doesn't want to be caught on the wrong side of things. He sees how free and happy and impactful Elon Musk has been with X. Elon Musk with X becoming the number one platform in news distribution. Okay. Mark Zuckerberg is very well aware of that. He's seen the change. Okay. That means lots of traffic and attention and memberships to X. It's about the tremendous growth of Rumble, right? Another headline, the Telegram CEO. I don't know if you heard about this. This is another platform that I actually have and am a member of. The Telegram CEO getting arrested, and people around the globe were protesting this. They were standing up for this guy. With Donald Trump tied ahead of Kamala, if not ahead, and I say he's ahead, Zuckerberg sees the writing on the wall and wants to get on the right side of things, folks. That's what's really going on. I'm not impressed because we could have been 3.5 years ahead in health and the economy and crime. Our borders would be even stronger than Trump had in his first term. I would be wealthier. The country would be without DEI, without the lies and corruption and distortion of the Biden-Harris administration. It means 3.5 years less of Joe Biden, 3.5 years less of Kamala Harris, 3.5 years less of this DOJ and CIA and all the other abbreviated agencies that are absolutely corrupt. It's 3.5 years less of Corinne Jean-Pierre standing up at the podium for her press conferences, lying to the American people, stumbling and making a complete donkey of herself, lying straight to our faces. 3.5 years less of Jill Biden and Hunter Biden and Pete Buttigieg and anti-Semitism, no war in Gaza. It would have meant no war in Ukraine, because we know that Donald Trump wouldn't have had it. He wouldn't have had, this would not have occurred under his administration. We wouldn't have lost 13 of our finest in that embarrassing withdrawal through Afghanistan, left billions of dollars of equipment and artillery and ammunition and our machinery, not to mention funding our enemy, Iran, to war and with their plans to actually use that equipment to destroy us. Okay. Now, to solidify and justify my frustration at Donkey Headquarters, the White House issued a statement defending the administration's approach to COVID-19 information. Of course, when they heard about Mark Zuckerberg, instead of actually, you know, kind of bowing out and being gracious and saying, yeah, you know, that was probably a bad call, they doubled down. Here's what they said, and I quote, "When confronted with a deadly pandemic, this administration encouraged responsible actions to protect the public and from health and safety." The statement also said, "Our position has been clear and consistent. We believe tech companies and other private actors should take into account the effects their actions have on the American people while making independent choices about the information they present." So even after Mark Zuckerberg comes out to admit and reveal the cover-up and the theft of the 2020 election, okay, because that's really truly at the bottom line, the base bottom line of all this was an election stolen in 2020 for the American people by way of censorship. They hold true. They double down on their lies and their deceit. That's actually what is really, truly consistent. They're doubling down and lying and deceit to the American people. Now, let's be perfectly clear. Mark Zuckerberg's so-called confession about censorship on Meta is a pathetic and cynical attempt to cover his tracks. It's a shameless display of arrogance from someone who has been at the epicenter of the assault of free speech in this country. For years, Zuckerberg and his platform has acted as the self-appointed gatekeepers of what can and cannot be said, all the while hiding behind the veneer of content moderation. First of all, it's infuriating that Zuckerberg's admission comes only after relentless pressure and mounting evidence of his platform's blatant bias. It's as if he thinks a half-hearted apology will magically erase the years of discrimination against conservative voices. This isn't just a minor oversight. This is a systemic effort to silence dissent and control the narrative. Zuckerberg's so-called confession is nothing more than an attempt to clean up his public image while continuing to undermine free speech behind closed doors. Second, the very idea that this so-called confession is revelation is laughable. We've known for years that Meta's algorithm and moderation have been used as tools for political censorship. It's about time Zuckerberg acknowledged what someone has already known, already been stated, that his platform has been selectively targeting and suppressing conservative viewpoints. But let's not be fooled. This is just a smokescreen. He's trying to deflect from the real issue here, that Meta has systemically engaged in bias and censorship. And let's not overlook the fact that Zuckerberg's admission fails to address the real problem, his platform's ongoing biased enforcement of so-called policies. His so-called confession doesn't change the fact that conservatives have been silenced while leftist ideologies are given free rein. If Zuckerberg truly cared about fairness and about transparency, he would implement real, meaningful changes rather than offering up this empty apology. What's even more infuriating is the blatant hypocrisy here. Zuckerberg and his team have spent years defending their actions as necessary for community safety and preventing misinformation. Now, when cornered, they admit to censorship as if it's just a minor issue. This is not just about a few bad decisions. It's about a systemic, deliberate effort to skew the information landscape and stifle free speech. In short, Zuckerberg's confession is an absurd joke. It's a weak, self-serving attempt to deflect blame and avoid real accountability. It's a slap in the face to every American who believes in the fundamental right to free expression. Instead of coming clean and making real changes, Zuckerberg is playing the part of a repentant sinner while continuing to wield his platform as a weapon against free speech. It's time to hold him accountable and demand genuine reforms. Enough is enough. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.